power. Amen.
That's from the Passion Translation. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. God wants us to be imitators of him. Jesus Christ was our example. He came to this earth. He walked this earth. And we are to be his living examples because he's no longer here. But his spirit is here. His spirit is in each one of us. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your anointing, which destroys every yoke of bondage. We thank you that your word brings life, brings health and wholeness, brings deliverance, brings peace, brings joy. And Father, as we open up our hearts this morning, we thank you that you minister unto us through your word. That, Father, we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and eyes to see. God, I thank you for your grace to minister your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16, I'm going to read that from the Passion Translation as well. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own work of ministry. And as they do, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. Those are ministry gifts that Jesus said, talked about, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I probably flow more in the evangelist grace ministry than I do in any other grace ministry. Pastor Cam probably flows more in the teacher grace ministry than any other ministry. Pastor Ray, he walks in a totally different one. But all of you walk in some grace ministry. Amen? We all have a function in the body of Christ to build up one another, to build up the body of Christ until we all become one. And so God has placed us in the body to encourage one another, to build one another up, to bring correction when needed, to speak into one another's lives. And so he's all given us a part to play in the body of Christ, that none of us are just islands unto ourselves. We all have something to do. Amen? The title of my message this morning is called Call to Make a Difference. You know, it was last Sunday, Kathy and I were watching a movie. And the title of the movie was called Wonder. Has anybody seen that movie? It's an incredible story. If it's a young little boy, I don't know, he's probably around 7 years old, 8 years old. And he was born with a deformity. Both his parents had this Y chromosome or whatever, which caused this deformity in him when he was born. And so his face was deformed. The rest of him was okay, but his face was deformed, and he had quite a number of surgeries to try to bring him to look a little bit better. And his parents homeschooled him until he was going to go into grade six. And so he was quite shy, and he was quite aware of his facial deformity, and he was pretty scared about going to school because he knew that he was probably going to get made fun of. Because every time he gone out in public, people made fun of him because of his facial deformity. I'm just going to summarize it in a little short story. I don't want to tell you the whole story. But this little guy went to school, and of course he was bullied. He was made fun of. He was laughed at. But you know what? There was a couple individuals who decided that, you know what? We're not going to allow this to happen just because he's deformed. We're going to be his friend. And they became his friends, and he became their friend. And this young boy made such a difference in the lives of his school and in his teachers. And people began to see him for not his face, but began to see him for who he truly was as a human being. That he had something to offer, something that was great, something that they didn't have. And in the end of the story, he wins this award in front of his whole school. And he's brought up. And all I'm saying that is because I wanted to say that every one of us can make a difference. Every one of us has a role to play. You know, we can make a difference in the way that we talk. We can make a difference in the way that we act, in the way that we respond to difficult circumstances. We can make a difference in our school. We can make a difference in our workplaces. God has called us to be different. The Bible says that we are peculiar people. Amen? Some of us are a little more peculiar than others, but some of us are. Why are you all laughing? Because you're laughing at yourselves. We're all called to make a difference. Jesus Christ, when he came onto the face of this earth, made a difference. And the Bible says that we are to be imitators of God. We are to be imitators of Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to be imitators of Jesus Christ, we're called to make a difference. And how do we make that difference? Every one of us is different in our giftings. Every one of us is different in our abilities, our talents. Like Pastor Ray was saying this morning, some people could give $1,000. Makes a difference. Some of you can only give a shoelace. I've been there. One time I gave a watch. I had nothing else. I had a watch, but I gave it. I sold my watch. When I was going to Bible college in Calgary, I felt God had called us to go to Calgary for me to go to Bible college. We had enough money to last us 2 months. We went by faith. Going to Bible college, no income. And then one day, I got a little bit of work for this lady. She wanted me to do some work for her. So I did this work, and she paid me $400 cash. The next Sunday, we had a guest speaker come into our morning devotional part of Bible college. And he was sharing about how he was over in Germany, I believe it was. And he was preaching, and God says, I want you to give something. He says, I have nothing to give, Lord. Lord says, yes, you do. He says, you got two suits. So he said he gave one of his suits, and he says, ever since that day, he's never bought another suit in his life. So after he's done preaching, the Lord says to me, Bill, I want you to give him $100. And I said, Lord, I've only got $400. God politely said to me, I know what you got, Bill, I gave it to you. So I went up after the service, and I went up and I gave him a Holy Ghost handshake and $100. And I said, Lord, I'm sowing this in faith for my college tuition. 2 weeks later, I got a call from the pastor of the church. And he says, Bill, I got some good news for you, and I got some bad news for you. So, uh-oh, what did I do now? He says, the good news is, somebody walked in here and wrote you a check for $3,000. That was my tuition for my Bible college. Says, the bad news is, you got a tithe. That wasn't bad news. In faith, when you give generously, you know what? When you've only got $400, $300, or $100 is generous. And you don't have anything else. You don't have anything to pay your rent. You don't have anything to buy food with or put gas in your vehicle. But God was so faithful that 9 months or 9 months that we were in Calgary, it was just like one blessing, one miracle after another, financial blessing. And God took care of us through that whole time. The dictionary defines difference as the features that make one thing distinct from another, or the condition of when a change is made. It's the quality or condition of being unlike or dissimilar. Read that again. Difference is defined as the features that make one thing distinct from another, or the condition of when a change is made. Something that distincts, difference that makes us distinct from other people. What makes a believer distinct from unbeliever? faith, hope, love, joy, peace, patience, understanding. Those are all qualities that you received and I received when we accepted Jesus Christ into our heart. And we're to develop them, because those things make a difference in the world that you and I live in. And God wants us to be a big difference maker, that we have huge impact. And sometimes you think, well, just the little things that I do don't make a difference. I'll tell you what, you never know. You never know your one act of kindness that you do will make in someone's life. I've shared with you before about one of the tenants that I had in our fourplex, and they were Muslims from Pakistan. And God has asked me to welcome them into Canada and to be a friend to them. And so I did. And they welcomed me into their home. And her name was Mansoura, his name was Imran. And she always liked to give me this chai tea, and she made a really good chai tea. So I would go there and I would sit and I would chat with them. And she shared with me how she had tried to have a baby, and they couldn't have a baby, and they couldn't have a baby. And she really desired to have a baby. And so I prayed with her, and I told her, you know what, God had used me in the past to pray for a number of different women who were unable to conceive, and they had babies. Matter of fact, there was five instances in my life where I prayed that. And so I could pray for you. So I prayed for her right in her living room. Got on the floor with her and her husband. I prayed. Anyway, they moved to Vancouver. 3 months after they moved to Vancouver, she messaged me and said, Bill, I'm pregnant. Bill, I'm pregnant. She was so excited. So excited. And so she's been conversing with me ever since they've gone, moved away. And it's about, a year and a half now. And she keeps me up to date on what's going on in their lives. They had a baby girl. And so she is so happy. She sends me pictures of the baby girl. And then she said, she just texted me here a little while ago. She says, Bill, we are moving on the 1st of February. We didn't find a good place yet, so please do a special prayer for us that God give us a good place to live. I always need your prayers. She says, it's a one-bedroom small house because of the baby. We need little open space for her to play. So that's why we are finding something open and clean. So I responded, okay, will do. And then I prayed, Heavenly Father, I ask that you go before Imran and Mansoura, and that you would provide a good home for them, one that would meet all their needs. Also, Lord, you would grant them favor with future landlords. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. She says, thank you so much. We love you. And I said, we love you and miss you too. January 24th. Hello, dear Bill. How are you and Kathy? Hope you both will be doing great. I want to let you know that God answered your prayer for me. We found a very, very nice and large house. I love the house, big living room and very good size of bedrooms, wide kitchen, everything is so nice. Also, there's a big yard for a baby to play, and also could enjoy the weather and barbecue in the yard. Thank you so much for your prayers. Keep praying for us. Love you a lot, Mansoura. I said, praise the Lord, good news. And my girl turned 9 months yesterday. Please pray for her for a good health, long life with good manners. I want her to respect us and everyone. So glad to hear, Mansoura. God is answering prayers on your behalf. He loves you and your family and wants the best for you all. Again, I prayed, Heavenly Father, thank you that Mansoura's baby will grow up to be a God-fearing woman who loves you with all her heart. I thank you, Lord, for protecting her and keeping her safe, and that no weapon formed against her will prosper. I pray for greater increase for Mansoura and Imran, and that they would come to know Jesus who died for them. Bless and keep them, Lord, in your perfect care. Amen. Thank you so much. Little steps. God allows me little steps into their life. little steps into their life, God answered their prayer for a baby. God answered their prayer for a house. I prayed, God will, they will come to know Jesus Christ. That's my next answer prayer that's going to come. That's the one. Amen. This is a Muslim family that's going to come to know Jesus Christ. But it all started with just little steps. It's all started with trying to make a difference. Every one of us has those divine opportunities on a daily basis to make a difference in someone's life. We may not think that they're big things, but they are big things. Friday night, Kathy and I went to Why Not Johnny's to have supper. And this waitress, who we've gotten to know quite well over the time, over the last couple of years, you know, where she was, I was talking to her about how she got to know her fiance. He lives in Alberta and she lives here. And she wants to move out to Alberta, but it's not, just hasn't been the proper opportunity, or has, the finances or whatever haven't been there. And we were talking about how they met, and we had talked about how we met, Kathy and I had met, and that our anniversary is on Valentine's Day. And so she's so excited. And after we're done talking, I said, is there something we can pray for you for? She says, yeah. Can you pray that I'll be able to go and be with my fiance in Alberta? I said, okay. She's standing right there, and I began to pray. Tears running down her face. She says, you're making me cry. You're making me cry. The Holy Spirit. Taking that little step of faith by saying, is there something I can pray for you for? God wants to make a difference in people's lives. An unbeliever. Jesus prayed for many unbelievers and they were healed. But they became believers. Some of them did. You never know. I don't know. All the things that I do and say to people, whether it's going to have a major impact on their life, whether they'll come to know Jesus Christ. But if I don't pray, they never will. Amen? God is giving us an opportunity everywhere we go. Everything that we do. You know, we've been learning through Keith Moore's teachings on Wednesday nights. That everything that we do is by faith, that we're to live by faith. Amen? So when I go out by faith. I go out by faith that knowing that God is going to provide an opportunity for me to be share the good news, or to be an example, or to hear somebody and to bring understanding and bring encouragement into their life. And he wants each one of us to do that part, to do our part. What can you do to make a difference? What can you do to make a difference in the church that you're in? You know, I really believe that if you've been here for over a year now, that God wants you to be, and I want to encourage you to be involved, to be a difference maker in this church, in the growth of this church. Because we've all have talents, we all have gifts that we can use to be a blessing. Amen? We all do. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. In fact, it is written 22 times where Jesus used this term for us to follow him. You know, the Greek word for follow is not just follow, not just walk behind. There's more to it than that. The Greek word for follow also means to accompany and to assist. When Jesus says, follow me, he says, come on, accompany me and assist me. Accompany me and assist me. Jesus wants us to accompany and assist him in his ministry. Amen? Jesus was a difference maker. And we can read the accounts in the Gospels of the way that Jesus made a difference. He taught differently. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 38, in Matthew chapter 5, 38, he says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to see you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." See, he taught differently. The old rule of thumb was an eye for an eye. Somebody does you wrong, you do it wrong back to them. But Jesus operated differently. He wants us to be a difference maker. He says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." You know, sometimes, folks, we treat the outside world better than we treat our own family. God wants us to be different makers. Spouses to our spouse. He wants us to be so that when we're out in the world, people know how to actually treat a woman. Or a woman knows actually how to treat a man. They see that there's something different in your relationship. They see that there's something different about you guys and how you react. How you speak to one another. How we speak to each other. How we honor one another. How we build one another up. How we encourage one another. You see, it's not only ministry gifts. People are watching our lives. Amen? They watch what we do. They watch what we say. They watch how we react and act. Jesus prayed differently. In Luke chapter 11, 1 to 4, he says, "But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Truly I tell you, they already have their full reward. But when you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And he says, and then he goes on to say, "And this is how you should pray." And he gave us the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prayed differently. Amen? Our prayer should be different. Our prayer should make a difference. Amen? We don't just babble for the sake of praying. Our prayer should make a difference. When we pray, we need to believe that God is going to act on our behalf, that he's going to do something in the situation. Some people are so close to giving up, total giving up. Especially in this day and age, right now, there's so many, even out in Alberta, where we came from, because of the decline in the oil patch, there's been such a high number of suicide rates, such a high number of divorces. People without hope, they've lost it all. God may be bringing you and I into situations where people are on their last hope, their last breath, so to speak, and they don't have an answer, but you and I have an answer. We have something to give. We can be the difference maker in someone committing suicide or somebody deciding that, hey, there is something for me to live for. Jesus gave differently in Luke 11, 1 to 4. "Be careful not to perform your righteous acts before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. Truly I tell you, they already have their full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Pastor Ray had mentioned it this morning. God loves a cheerful giver. We are not to give out of fear. We're not to give out of compulsion. We're to give out of love. God in us. We have love in us. And we are to exercise that love in our giving. Amen? Jesus had compassion on the poor, and he gave to the poor. God wants us to be like him, to be a difference maker. And our giving needs to be motivated by love. Jesus healed the sick in love. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick in Matthew 14, 14. Jesus raised the dead in love. Jesus wept, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance in John 11, 35. That's when he raised Lazarus. Jesus fed the hungry in love. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." In Matthew 15, 32. Jesus preached the kingdom in love. In Mark 6, 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Matthew 8, 16. Jesus cast out demons in love. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits of the word and healed all the sick. You know, sometimes we shy away from the demonic. But part of God's love is setting the captives free. We sang about it this morning. It's setting the captives free. Years ago when we had our church in Medicine Hat, we used to do a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we had this young lady that would come to our prayer meetings. She didn't come to our church, but she came to our prayer meetings. Because she loved the spirit of prayer, and she loved to pray. And one time she brought another lady with her. And so we had our prayer meeting that night. And after the end, I walked up to the front, and I was going to kind of close, and this lady was standing there, my friend's friend. And I'm praying, and I'm just, the Spirit of God came upon me, which the Bible talks about, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And I just went up to her right in front of her, and I just began to cast a demon out of her. She broke, she wept. I had never met this woman in my life before, but I just was impelled by the Holy Spirit, and I just went and cast a demon out of her. Anyway, I found out later from my friend, that lady who had come, God delivered to her from alcohol that night. The spirit of alcohol had contained her. She had lost her children to family services because she was unable to look after them. Anyway, my friend says, "I just want to let you know, encourage you. The night you prayed for her, she was delivered from alcohol, and she's been 3 months now without alcohol, and she's got her children back." Praise of God. Amen. We shouldn't be afraid of the demonic. They're below us. Jesus said he's given us all authority. Amen. We don't need to be afraid of people who are acting weird. We don't need to be afraid of the demonic spirit. They are under our feet. Jesus interceded for his disciples and the church in love. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. You know, we're not only to pray for one another, we're to pray for the unbeliever. We're to pray for those that don't know Christ. Now, Jesus prayed for us, and he prayed for the unbeliever as well, that they would come to know him. You know, we can make a difference in our prayer. I don't know how many people my wife had praying for me before I came to know Jesus Christ. Quite a number. The community, yes. I guess I was one of those hard ones. Do you need a community? Jesus gave his life for the world in love. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, Jesus is love in action. And we are to be love in action. Amen. Peter wrote about Christ's example in 1 Peter 2:21 to 23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to one who judges righteously. Now, Jesus taught that we need to live a life of good fruit. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, in John 15:8. You know, we should never underestimate the impact positive acts can make in people's lives. We never know in this age to what degree our example has inspired and encouraged others. You know, Jesus came to serve. He said, I didn't come to be served. He says, but I came to serve. And he washed the disciples' feet as an example. You know, when we come to the body of Christ, when we come to one another, when we come to our own families, we need to come as those who serve and not look to be those who want to be served. We are to lay down our lives for one another, serving one another, honoring one another, respecting one another, encouraging one another. When people come up here on the worship team, they're laying down their lives. They're serving us. They're bringing us in, drawing us closer into the presence of God. When people come into the house of the Lord and the ushers and greeters are there, they're serving in love, welcoming you, embracing you, making an environment of welcomeness. When people meet in the room for prayer, they're praying that God will touch your heart while you're here. Every one of us has an opportunity to make a difference. Amen? You know, we think that, well, it's just because some great preacher, you know, they get all the high accolades. But you know what? It's the lowest, those who serve in Sunday school. They're making a difference. They're making a difference. And I have some stories to tell about that. I have heard it said, I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. What I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. I don't know who wrote that. I don't know who the author is, but that is so good. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. By the grace of God, I will do. No one godly man or woman can make a difference, a dramatic difference. Even in the darkest of circumstances, Jesus put it this way, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Under a basket, instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Everything that we do should bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Everything that I do should not be about me. It should not bring to lift me up, to make me look great. It should be about bringing glory to my Heavenly Father. That is our heart. That is our motivation. Everything that I do. I'm not doing it because I'm compelled to do it. I'm not doing it because I'm doing it out of fear. I'm doing it because I want to bring glory to my Father. Our Lord is telling us that we, like salt, should make a difference in the situations we are in. Just a little salt can either improve a meal or it can make it terrible. And I've had both. I like salt. I think it comes from the Mennonite background, but I like salt. You might be the only Christian in your family, or the only Christian in your workplace. You might be the only Christian in your classroom, or the only Christian in your neighborhood. In fact, you may be trying to get out of an uncomfortable situation in which you find yourself. Ever been there? Man, I hate this job. These people are just so terrible to work with. I just want to get out of here. God may have you there just for a reason. That someone there needs to know Jesus. Someone then needs to know that there's somebody that lives differently, that acts differently. But you may have been put there by the Lord to be an influence, and in a godly way, in the right direction. God can do a lot with a little. How many people have ever heard of Bill Bright? How about D.L. Moody? You've heard about him? Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ International, and Dwight Moody, the great evangelist of his time, and of course, Billy Graham. But have you ever heard of Edward Kimball or Henrietta Mears? Anybody ever heard of those individuals? Without Edward Kimball, there never would have been a Dwight L. Moody. Kimball was a shoe salesman. He worked at a shoe store in Chicago and felt led by the Lord to share the gospel with young Dwight, a fellow salesman. Dwight responded to the message, gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and ultimately went on to be the greatest evangelist of his generation. It was because of Edward Kimball's faithfulness to share the gospel of the Lord, gospel that the Lord reached D.L. Moody, who in turn reached millions. One person affected one person who affected millions. What about Henrietta Mears? In 1928, she was called to teach a Sunday school class at the First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood. Under her direction, the class grew from 400 to 4,000. She later went on to found Gospel Light Publishing and Forest Home Christian Conference Center in Southern California. Of the people she influenced, 400 went into full-time ministry. Among them were Bill Bright and Bill Graham. A Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher. Hallelujah. It is the power of one. Our lives can make a difference. In Ezekiel 22:30, God says, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. Wow. That grieves my heart. God is looking for someone. God is looking for someone just like you. To touch somebody in your neighborhood. To touch somebody in your school. To touch somebody in your workplace. He's looking for someone just like you and me. To be a difference maker. No matter where you are in your life, whatever you're doing, God is looking for someone like you. It can change the destiny of a nation. It can change the destination of someone who is lost. We never know the impact that you and I are going to have. But if we don't walk in faith expecting that God is going to use me or you to do something, guess what? We don't find those opportunities because we don't see them. But if our hearts are open, say, yes, Lord, that's me. I want to be a difference maker. I want to change the world. I may not be able to change the whole world, but I can change my world. Amen? You can change the world and your family. You can be the first one that come. Maybe you're the first one that came to know the Lord in your family. When I came to Christ, there was probably 7 of my immediate family came to know Jesus. I still have family members who don't know or aren't following the Lord yet. But when they're in trouble, you know who they call? Bill, will you pray for me? Will you believe with me? God is looking for that one who can make his or her mark. You may be the only one whom God, who some people will ever know. You may be the only Christian some people will ever know. The fact is that God can do a lot with a little. Smith Wigglesworth once said, "Oh, but if man were so little, what great things God could do through him." Oh, that man was so little, what great things God could do through him. What a powerful, powerful word. The Bible says, the scripture, not exactly sure where it is, he says, "And he stooped down," talking of the Lord, "to make me great." I believe it was David who said those words. "And he stooped down to make me great." You don't believe that God can do a lot through little? Remember the little boy in the Gospels who had 5 loaves and 2 fish? He made the difference in 5 million plus people. What about Moses? Leading all those people through the desert. One man made a huge difference. God is just looking for someone like you, someone like me. Will you be that one person? We'd all love to be a Billy Graham or a Dwight Moody or Smith Wigglesworth or a Mother Teresa or many other famous individual that's out there that's well known. But what about just being a Sunday school teacher? What about just being an usher or a greeter? Or what about somebody who stands in the gap and prays? What, somebody who just goes out and shovels a sidewalk? Or sets up chairs? Just doing the little things. Would you be willing to do what you can, where you are, with the influence that God has given you? Never underestimate the power of one. Never underestimate the power of one. You are one. But when we are one together, we are a mighty force. I'm going to ask Nathan to play this video. It's about 10 minutes long. I don't know if that's okay. But it's about the power of one individual that God used to stir many people and stirred me. I woke up with this song in my heart this morning, singing it, and I've been singing it most of the morning. I raise a hallelujah. In this video, the individual that wrote the song shares a bit of testimony.
This year, as a Bethel Music family, a few days before Christmas, most of you guys probably were a part of this miracle, but we watched Joel and Janie Taylor's little son, Jackson. And he was, a few days before Christmas, airlifted to